Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 28th chapter of Matthew. Hear God's word for us today. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Risen Christ, roll away the stones that block our hope. Shine your light to overcome the darkness. Open us to the power of your resurrection that we too might rise to new life and go and tell and be and do. Amen. New Providence does not have a marquee out in front of the building announcing gatherings and events or pithy sayings. Lots of churches do, good for them. We don't. But if we did have a marquee, here's how I would like for it to read this week. New Providence Presbyterian Church, Jesus is not here. Jesus is not here. It's not the best tagline if you're interested in attracting visitors to your congregation, but this year it may be particularly appropriate. Matthew says as much in this 28th chapter of his gospel. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the same two women who had witnessed the crucifixion, the same two women who had watched them put Jesus in the tomb on Friday evening. At dawn on Sunday morning, those same two women come to the tomb to see the body. They are greeted instead by an angel who brings them a message. "He is not here," he tells them. "He has been raised, just as he said." It's not what the women expect. They came expecting death. They came expecting silence. They came expecting status quo. And what they get is anything but. For suddenly there was a great earthquake, Matthew says, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Matthew is the only one of the four Gospels that tells us how the stone came to be rolled away from the tomb. No grave robber did it. A Messiah sympathizing soldier did not do it. A band of guerrilla disciples did not do it. An angel of the Lord does it, rearranging the landscape the same way God rearranged it, with two earthquakes 3 days apart, one on the day Jesus died and another on the day he rose from the dead. Meanwhile, the two soldiers who had been given the easiest task in military history, making sure a dead man stays dead, have utterly failed at the task. And Matthew can't resist making a joke at their expense. At the sight of the angel, he says, the guards shake and become like dead men themselves. At the empty tomb, everything is upended. Nothing is what we expected. And that seems appropriate given where our world is right now. Just a few weeks ago, we were hoping that today our country would be raring to go. The economy would be open for business and churches and synagogues would be packed with people who were eager to see one another and rejoice in new life and liberation. But that kind of resurrection hasn't happened. And the longer we're at this social distancing thing, the longer it appears that it may continue. Here we are worshiping via the internet, each of us at our own kitchen tables or couches, trying to summon up the enthusiasm of Easter. Of course, there will be some ill-informed pastors who try to create large gatherings on this day, which will only lead to more outbreaks and more suffering and more death. And so maybe Easter is an opportunity this year to celebrate something that is very, very biblical. Christ's resurrection does not begin or end with large groups of Christians surrounded by choirs and lilies and organ blasts. It begins with two fearful women and an empty tomb. That is, a tomb that has been emptied of death. Maybe Easter is the time to ponder that emptiness, to linger over it, even to revel in it. This is the Easter to let our sanctuary and our chancel, our nave and our narthex remain utterly empty, not as a sign of despair, but as a sign that that is how we are saving lives. Because the paradox is that right now, to be truly present with one another, we have to be physically distant from one another. And if we cannot show that we are capable of surviving empty sanctuaries to save one another from the COVID-19 virus, then we don't deserve full sanctuaries when this virus and its dangers have passed. This is how we love our neighbors. And if we are not loving our neighbors, then we are not loving God. That doesn't mean settling for second best. Emptiness, in this case, is life-giving. By abandoning our sacred gathering space, we are by no means abandoning the gospel. Far from it. Instead, we are testifying to what the angel said at the tomb. He is not here. Where is he? According to John, the resurrected Christ makes his first public appearance to the disciples hiding behind locked doors. Now, to be fair, their social isolation was for a different reason than ours. But Christ will find us just as surely this Easter, no matter where we've sheltered ourselves. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. In 1965, when local church leaders in Montgomery pleaded with Martin Luther King Jr. to tone down the agitation around civil rights, Dr. King responded with a sermon entitled, "Our God is Marching On." And in it, he criticized moderates who wanted to return to a more comfortable, placid life where social relations were more like the way they used to be. Dr. King vowed defiantly, "No, we will not allow Alabama to go back to normalcy." King disdained normalcy not as a political strategy, but because of his Christian faith. After God raises Jesus from the dead, everything is up for grabs. You can forget all about normal. Normal has flown straight out the window. We don't know what the new normal will be once this virus runs its course or how long that will take. But I am sure of this. We are not going back to business as usual. We will not return to normalcy. And if we let resurrection do its work in our lives, we will not want to. Because what the women at the tomb recognize is true for us as well. Resurrection doesn't simply return Jesus. It upends our entire existence. Resurrection breaks all the rules. Resurrection means that there are no longer limits or boundaries, even including death. So this Easter, I want you to go, as the women do, with fear, yes, because there is plenty to be afraid of. But go, as Matthew says, with fear and great joy. And do not let fear rob you of the great joy of new life and new hope and new possibilities that are reflected in an empty tomb. Jesus is not here. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.